I want to stress that, first of all, we have in Russia some new results of development of sanctions. And this is from one hand, it will be too much. Yeah, it will be visible, everything. Two results of the development of this confrontation. One is growth of conservative trends in social mentality and growth of patriotism, and both real patriotism, which is based on the rebirth of national pride and attempts to show that we can do something positive in the world and positive for ourselves. Rebirth of the interest to the culture and not Hollywood type shows and movies, but to the real culture of Soviet Union and old Russian culture, classic culture. One of the interesting aspects of this rebirth of conservatism became relatively less influence, relative decline of the influence of neoliberal ideas in ideology. In economic sphere, we have still very neoliberal system of organization of everything, property relations. Market is proclaimed like as main force of development of the country and regulation of economy. But in social sphere, in culture, we have at least some words about necessity to restrict neoliberal ideas. And as a result, we received not bad situation for development of Marxism. And finally, we have unusual results even for such countries as United States and West European countries with old Marxist traditions. In Moscow State University, we have official Department of Modern Marxist Studies as part of the official structure of Moscow State University. As I mentioned in one of the sessions, we had a huge forum with 640 participants, and rector was making speech in the opening ceremony of the forum and said that Marxism must be taught, must be among classes in Moscow State University, and must be recognized as one of the important academic spheres of research and so on. We have opportunity to have publications in mainstream journals, questions of philosophy, questions of economy. It's like The Economist in the United States. Can you imagine 3, 4, 5 articles in The Economist every year from Marxist perspective? So we have it. We have a weekly program on federal radio where I have 40 minutes of free open air with analysis of economic situation and so on. So it's very unusual situation. And in the same time, authoritarian or semi-authoritarian quasi-democratic system. About democracy in Russia, we heard a lot about economy, so I will add a little bit about political system. I heard very interesting debates with my Western colleagues. They said, you don't have democracy in the country, you cannot say something negative about Putin in the first TV channel. First TV channel, you cannot say anything bad about president. I said, yes, I agree, but can you say something positive about Putin, first TV channel of Germany? So, and in local radio, I can do this, and I'm talking in a very critical way every week in federal radio. Of course, it's not main channel. So this is a small introduction to understand complexity of the situation. And what is important is to show that Russia is a country with very specific economic system. We have what I said, capitalism's Jurassic Park, where huge monsters, big corporations, very integrated with business, are together, and they are main actors. We have new nomenclatura, new strata of the ruling class. It's quasi-class, proto-class. And this is integration of top officials and insiders, not even owners, but insiders of the biggest corporations. And partly these corporations are state, but still insiders, top managers, are real masters of these corporations. They have form of state corporation, but really they are controlled by insiders, private persons. They have ministers who are becoming then business leaders and vice versa, from banks to the ministers. But this is more or less like in all countries. In Russia, this system has very brutal form, very primitive form, very visible form. And this is important for understanding of situation. We have changes, and David described these changes. I'm very glad that he made his paper before me, so I can not talk more. And these changes are interconnected with new style of organization of social economic life. This real patriotism and some positive things in geopolitics led to the growth of a military-industrial complex and became the result of the growth of military-industrial complex. And this military production in Russia has a very deep internal contradiction. From one hand, this is terrible to produce weapons which will kill people. And growth of militarism is negative process by all means. Full stop. But not full stop, because we have another side of this contradiction. We have growth of high-tech production in the real sector. We have growth of high-tech production in all industries interconnected with military-industrial complex. We have growth of interest towards science, including fundamental science, positive progress in the sphere of education, and even some changes in culture of people who understood that they are necessary for the country. We don't have more stagnation of technical intelligence. We have small, not rapid, but rebirth of technical intelligence. And this is positive for the country, from one hand, and very negative because it is realized through military-industrial complex. A small statistic about this, I'm made too quick. This is a growth of spendings for military purposes, and very impressive figures, as you can see. So what we have as a result? We have a situation where Russia became not enemy, but maybe the only real actor who can be not alternative, but at least not slave of the new imperial power. And the question is, what is new imperialism? Who is the master of this new imperialism? And who are the object of this new imperialism? And here I want to move a little bit to the theory, because in Russia we like it very much. So, and if you look from my point of view, there are some classic and new aspects of this imperialism. One is permanent overaccumulation of capital, which led to the enormous growth of fictitious virtual financial capital and all these financial bubbles. And the name financialization is your name, so I will not explain you what does it mean. But this is also the reason for new imperialism. And this is not simply integration of banks and industry corporations, industrial corporations as it was in Lenin's time. This is domination of fictitious financial capital over the world. And when we are talking about imperialism, it's not a power of the state. It is not power of the United States as government, military force, and so on. This is power of global financial capital, who is realizing this power through with assistance of the state. It was more or less the case in past, but now it became very visible. Second, what is important, this capital use methods of market domination. Before, it was mainly direct violence, direct determination of India by Britain. India was colony, no political formal rules, rights, and so on. Now, formally, everybody is equal, free competition everywhere, and domination through market methods, including methods which are used against Americans, but for poor countries, they are more strong, more powerful, more effective, if you want. Efficient. It's the same advertising. When everybody must drink Coca-Cola, when everybody must watch Hollywood movies, everybody must want money as main resource for the life and main value. And if you want to have money, you will be slave of American banks. If you want to have shops, fashion dress with good label anywhere here, yeah, you will be slave of transnational corporations who are selling these things, of brands. In Russian, there is good expression, брендившая экономика. Economy who became crazy because of brands, because of this artificial, fictitious simulacra, if I can use philosophical term. If we move forward, we can see that we have new rules of the game. And these rules formally are market rules, but really they are also very unequal. And it's not me who must explain this. I mentioned this idea, corporations can manipulate, and they are manipulators, and we are like puppets in the hands of these corporations. And in poor countries, which are not as strong as other, this manipulation is more efficient and more strong. If we go further, we will find that we have control over the financial resources of national economies. Maybe not in China, but in such countries as Russia, it's still very important, yes. And through unequal exchange, you have, not you citizens of US, but US capital has expropriation of imperialist strength. I can add that also object of domination changed. Before it was agrarian countries with peasants who had feudal life or ancient mode of production as system of life. Now it is industrial capitalist market countries. And domination through market methods became very efficient. And because of that, we have new chances for the struggle. And new necessities for the struggle. The question is who can be alternative? Who can create opposition? Modern Russia cannot. It can be maybe not slave of the US, of the Washington, let's say. Not I like US friends, so I don't want to use the name of your country. Not to be slave of the Washington, but nothing else. If Russia or any other country, maybe in Latin America, will be left, or at least social democratic country, and will be united with world civil society, world forum forces, let's say, world social forum forces, it can be very useful and very powerful project. Also, it's very important to remember about experience of Soviet Union. I mentioned already in this forum, in 1950s, 60s, authoritarian Soviet leaders, bureaucrats, were main force of the world peaceful movement. Of course, it was very difficult to cooperate with these people. But then when real activity against war in Vietnam became the real force, Soviet Union became not so important. So it was very interesting dialectic. In the beginning, late 50s, Soviet Union was a very important force to support this peace movement. But then when peace movement became really strong in the United States and all over the world, Soviet Union became assistant for this movement. I think now it can be more or less the same. And if world social forces, civil society, progressive civil society, will make pressure on Russian leaders, we can be your colleagues, not friends, in the struggle against new imperialism. But you must have some changes inside Russia, or we cannot be with you. It will not be decisive factor, but it can be one of the factors, like it was in Soviet Union, where we had even more political freedom, opportunities to talk a little bit when it was the case for the world peaceful movement. So I think it can be at least the sign that it's necessary to move in new direction. And finally, 2 points, only 30 seconds. One, I think it is important to have new big theoretical efforts to understand what is new imperialism. There are a lot of good publications, not a lot, there are some good publications on this topic. But it can be the subject for the big international discussion. alternative to fascism, new imperialism, and so on. Big, permanent theoretical discussion. More intensive than discussion about contradiction between volume one and volume three of Das Kapital. And finally, I think it is important to renovate or to create new life for the word internationalism. We nearly forgot this word, and then the life of all country where nationalism became not bad word, where right-wing forces are becoming very powerful, I think we must openly say we are internationalists. It's not Trotskyite or Stalinist slogan of third or fourth or fifth international. I'm not against, but it's not in the agenda. This is a problem of a new type of thinking. And this is not simply pluralism. This is not to say we are all equal, Russians, Americans, Chinese, and so on. That's not enough. If we are all equal, we will be all dressed by Hugo Boss or by anybody else, and we will all watch Hollywood movies. We are not equal. It's I will tell now terrible things. It's not bad to say I'm man, she is woman, this guy is young, I'm old, one is black, another is white, third is yellow. It's good, I'm proud that I have such culture, that I have another color, that I have another songs, I have another films. We must have dialogue of different people. Social, political, economic equality is not unification in culture, in life, in principles. And internationalism is dialogue of different people, different nations, different cultures, different sects, and so on. I think in this sphere we can beat conservatism. Not in the sphere of unification, because when we are making everybody unisex, uni-age, uni-everything, we will be uni-dressed, and after that we will be 100% slaves of market fetishism and brand-style economy. Thank you.